Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Yeah, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it.
Rock Bar, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no, yeah. no one admits it, and you say, like, hey, Mike's going to replace somebody, this is going to be, who is it going to be?
I would probably get rid of, I would keep Anna and Will, because I think they're both good. I would get rid of that show. We'd probably put some syndicated programming on it, was cheaper, and then I'd add them to different shows.
Oh, okay.
I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough, for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, RadioSt.Pete.com, and in downtown St. Petersburg on Sunshine 96.7 FM. And I live online, more than I want to, HMBRadio.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. Anna Hum will be here shortly, I think. We'll see. Actually, might be a surprise. That was Simone Biles there at the beginning. Oh, we're going to get to Simone Biles. Mental health, Simone Biles, Olympics, wowie wowie. You know, I got my mail-in ballot for the St. Pete mayoral election. There's some names on there. I don't know who anybody is. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan type of thing, you know, but that's just impossible in the world that we live in today. So usually... you know, even in 2016, there was a little bit of political jabs between Rick Kreisman and Rick Baker, the former mayor of St. Petersburg. But this mayoral election seems to take it to the next level. And if you don't live in St. Pete, sorry. But it's still kind of relevant just to the culture war that's going on in the world. And, you know, it's not no cities or, you know, political elections are free from it. I noticed that there was some mudslinging in some of the mailers that I'd received from Darden Rice, who is the, I believe, granddaughter of Everett Rice, a long-term... what was his job? Sheriff? Everett Rice. He was... I don't know. He was the speaker of, was he the speaker of the House? He was a former Pinellas County sheriff and House member. And he ran for sheriff in 2012. Okay. Well, I believe that's his granddaughter. And Darden is a city council member now here in St. Pete. And she's running for mayor. Rick Kreisman is termed out. And she's running. She's a out of the closet lesbian. And she makes it very known that she's gay. And which is fine, obviously. But she makes it part of her platform. And, you know, maybe smart move politically here in St. Pete where, you know, it's we're a big gay town. I took my mom down. I won a Best of the Bay Award for the best open mic at Sly Bar there for a few years ago, 5-6 years ago now, probably. And I remember I was driving her back. I took her as my date because I didn't have a girlfriend. So took mommy with me, and I thought, oh, that'd be nice to see her boy get an award so I'm not a complete bum. And plus, she just doesn't get out of the house much, so I took her down there, and we went to the ceremony and everything. It was cool, and she was just looking out the window on the way home, and she's just staring, you know? And I'm kind of looking at her, staring, and she kind of turns around to me and goes, and she whispers, too, which is even funnier, because we're in a car totally by ourselves, and she goes, is everyone here gay? Everyone here gay? No, but there is. I told her no. We have a very large gay community here, though. It's one of our achievements here in the city. She went, oh, okay. No, she didn't care. She was just like, what? She'd never really seen that, you know. She doesn't leave Largo ever, so it was weird to her to see all the rainbow flags. And I think it was Pride Month there in that point too, so it was unusual for her. So Darden is running for mayor. And she sent out some dirt, usually with the mayoral, you know, local office. It's kind of just like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm running for mayor, and here's what I like, and here's what I'm about, and here's a picture of my family. But this one was a little different. She went after kind of a political person who's on the same team as her, which is, what's Ken Welch. Ken Welch is also running for mayor. Longtime Pinellas County Commissioner and a Democrat, I would say, it's fair to say, and an out Democrat. And Darden is obviously a very progressive, you know, figure in the city. And I noticed she was kind of throwing some shade at Ken. And I was going, oh, that's interesting, because, I mean, they're kind of going to be splitting votes here. I think Darden and Ken are the two, you know, kind of the big dogs on the ballot here locally. And so maybe she's just trying to take him out early and get his votes, but I don't know. It was just weird. And then her mailer just had like these people on it, and you go, who are these people? And they were kind of criticizing Ken for being a Trump person or something, which anybody who has a passive interest in this stuff goes, what? That's not true. And she's responding to some recent scrutiny over those matters. She sent her affiliated political committee, Friends of Darden Rice, that link fellow mayoral candidate Ken Welch to Donald Trump supporters. And after distributing the mailers, Rice was quickly criticized by Welch supporters for hypocrisy as well as her use of stock images of black individuals. An aspect that Rice apologized for in her statement. Uh-oh, she's kind of using blackface there because Ken happens to be black guy, and now she's using stock images of black people criticizing him for being a Trump supporter. Rice still stands strong by the claim, saying in her statement that Welch touted an endorsement from, get ready to clutch your pearls here, Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Gualtieri, he says that and his crime was he has stood with Trump and Governor Ron DeSantis and has carried out regressive policies that hurt our community. She doesn't name any of those, of course. She had the nerve to stand with him at a press conference. Oh, my God. The mailer cite that the Tampa Bay Times article from March 19th titled Ken Welch backers in the St. Pete mayoral race include prominent Republicans to support its claims. For the past week, I've been talking to a lot of people, including friends and supporters who have contacted me, disappointed by my mailers my affiliated political committee set out. That's what Rice said in her statement. She said, I wanted to raise the real concern that my opponent, Ken Welsh, has touted the endorsement of the sheriff who stood with Trump and Governor Ron DeSantis. Rice also seemed to hit back at the claims of hypocrisy. In recent days, after her first mail piece, several Welsh supporters publicly decried the content as hypocritical. While it is true that Welsh's donor lists and endorsers include Republicans, Rice also has numerous contributions from local Republicans. Uh-oh. To the tune of thousands of dollars. Uh-oh, Darden. Many of them are within former Republican Mayor Rick Baker's sphere of influence. And they said that this is the height of hypocrisy after Darden Rice spent a last week dropping bogus and patient and patently false mailers to mislead voters. She doubled down during last night's Black Caucus Forum, which was held by Florida Politics. She says, here are the facts. Darden has more Trump supporters. Oh, my God. Or donors, sorry, than anyone in the race. Oh, boy. She voted to help keep big developers and then hit them up for big donations. That's right, after voting to limit campaign donations. Uh-oh. Some people are willing to say and that she'll do anything to get elected. I will not, says Ken Welsh. In her statement, Rice appears to push back, arguing that while the mailers may have missed the mark, she is still in the race, or she is still the race's most progressive option, which is probably true. Rice also addressed the use of stock images of black individuals. The first mailer showed a black woman, arms crossed, looking annoyed, next to the claim that Ken Welsh is tied up with Trump backers. The second, an older black man seated with his arms crossed next to a similar claim. And it said that the truth about Ken Welsh is that he is endorsed by Trump supporters and funded by Trump supporters. Rice apologized for the use of those stock images in her mailers. She said, but I obscured that message by using stock images instead of featuring black community supporters. And that was a mistake for which I apologize. She said, I want to thank everyone who has reached out to me, and I am taking these lessons with me throughout the rest of the campaign. And as your next mayor, we'll see, because Rick Kreisman endorsed Ken Welsh and also made a statement and smacked her hand, too. So we'll see what happens to old Darden Rice in this upcoming mayoral race here. Also, you know, I don't want to make this too political, but I found this story I thought was very interesting. Nikki Fried is the agricultural commissioner. She is the only elected Democrat in office here in Florida. She is vying for the governorship. She's battling, I guess it would be Charlie Crist for the nomination, going up against Ron DeSantis. And when's the next election for that? 2 years? It's going to go by so fast. I don't know. Maybe it's next year. I don't know. But she sent out a tweet. First of all, she's all in this identity game now, and she essentially is telling Charlie Crist, you need to step aside, because we've had white men long enough, and, you know, now it's time for women to take control. Okay? But she also put out a tweet today that she had suspended the concealed weapons permits of 22 people that were involved, as she says, in the insurrection against the United States of America, instigated by Donald Trump on January 6th. 2021. That's a hell of an accusation. I believe there was one guy who was sentenced for his, 6 months or something? The guy from Tampa, for walking around in the Capitol building there that day. Wasn't violent, but is in prison now or in jail, whatever. To make that accusation, nobody has been charged with insurrection. To my knowledge, not a one. I've never seen an insurrection happen without guns. That's another thing that you kind of need if you're going to do that, if you're going up against people with guns. But, you know, that's all up for debate. Some people are probably pulling their hair out right now if they hear that. But so she decided to do that. And then I go, can you even do that? Is that a thing? And it turns out that she can't. Florida State Constitution explicitly protects the right to keep and bear arms, but it also explicitly permits the state to regulate the bearing part. It's right in the Constitution. The Florida Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms in defense of themselves and the lawful authority of the state shall not be infringed, except that the manner of bearing arms may be regulated by law. So basically, you can get rid of the first part just before the except. And that's in Florida, which was pretty shocking to me. It turns out that the law in question, 790.06, allows the state to revoke a carry license on the mere presentation of charges. It says that this is section 3 of that the department shall, upon notification by a law enforcement agency, a court, or a Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and subsequent written verification, suspend a license or the processing of an application for a license if the licensee or applicant is arrested or formally charged with a crime that would disqualify the person from having a license under this section until the final deposition of the case or disposition of the case. So it essentially says that the 22 people in question were arrested or formally charged with a crime, and that their crimes were either against the United States, which is designated as a felony, or that an offense that the felony is in another state, territory, or country, which is punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year, that, yes, Nikki Fried is acting within her powers. I'm more shocked that the state of Florida allows that. I thought this was a rootin' tootin', you know, gun-totin' state, but it doesn't really appear like that's necessarily true. I don't know. 813-693-2124-HMBRadio.com is the website. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. On Twitter and Instagram, HMB Radio, all one word, on Facebook. And follow the Johnny B Show, too. I do that 9 to midnight, 102.5 The Bone with Johnny B. And follow those pages. And follow Radio St. Pete while you're there, too. Radio STPETE if you are interested in getting some HMB Radio merchandise, which will be up, you know, probably for a few more months. But I would encourage you to do it now because it's going to be gone here, I think, in August. So you got a few more weeks to get that. Go to hmbradio.com/store. Get yourself a hat, a hoodie, a shirt, something cool. Rep the show. Or if you want to, you know, leave something in a tip jar, maybe you can do that too. Just go to hmbradio.com/donate.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
What's up?
I was a little offended you didn't let me make you iced coffee with my new iced coffee machine. You didn't even comment on it.
I have to go to bed soon.
Oh, that's right.
So I shouldn't drink caffeine past like 2 p.m.
Oh, I have to do the radio program by myself tonight. So I am loading up.
Mm-hmm.
I want an Adderall. Mm. I need
some cocaine.
Some cocaine, some meth.
Okay.
I want it all. I want to speedball my way into midnight, and then I want to go to sleep immediately after.
Do you have trouble falling asleep after midnight shift?
Not really, no. I usually come home, take a nice warm shower. That helps. And then I just turn the lights off.
Mm.
And I turn the blue light off of the iPhone, and okay, I'll play on my phone for a little bit, and then I eventually will just put it down and go to sleep. It usually takes me a half an hour or 45 minutes.
Okay. I feel like I've lost my sleep confidence. I know that sounds insane. I don't know if other people deal with this as well. I'm sure that they do, or maybe not. Maybe not. But if I have trouble sleeping one night, right, it's hard for me to go to bed. The next night, if it happens again, then I've convinced myself I have a sleeping problem.
Oh.
And then I'm in my head, and then I'm like, okay, now I have a sleeping problem, and I haven't taken any Xanax probably for like 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks. And then like 2 days ago, I took a quarter Xan, an mm-hmm. eighth of a Xan, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you have a sleeping problem now. Like you actually need to, like, I've convinced myself. So that was 2 nights ago. And then last night, I don't smoke weed before bed or anything, but I had a joint lying around and I had a few puffs. And I need you to fix my lighter because I bought a new one and it's not working.
Sure.
But anyways,
no problem.
That's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. But now I have a sleeping problem as of Sunday night. So I've lost my confidence to go to bed because I'll be tired. I'm settling down. I do all the things. I try not to look at electronics an hour before bed. I take a nice warm shower. I talk to the kitties. Like, I do my thing. And then as soon as I get to bed, head goes down, racing thoughts. You can't sleep. You have a problem. You can't sleep. You have a problem.
Is any lights on during this time? No, any electrical off. Devices?
Just doing, you know, dead man's pose, Savasana in my bed. Just waiting to be taken by sleep, and it's not taking me.
And not happening. Wow. What can I tell you? It sounds like you just have high levels of neuroticism, and you're just freaking yourself out.
But does that happen to you, where you have a couple nights bad, and then you think, okay, well, now this is my new life. It's my new normal, as they say. Mm. I'm like, this is just how it is from here on out, so get used to it, sister.
No, not on a regular basis, but there are some nights where I can't sleep. You know, I think that happens to everybody, though. It's not...
Sure,
not
but when it happens, like, two consecutive nights, because you think if you have a bad night of sleep, the next night's going to be real good because you're going to be real tired.
Yeah.
False.
Do you nap?
Last week, I was just a napping champ, and I take 20 minutes, take an hour, something like this.
Don't nap.
Well, but I was going to sleep just fine last week. And then this week, no naps and having trouble.
And still nothing.
But when let me tell you something about Xanax.
Yeah.
One hell of a drug.
Yeah, I know. You don't get hooked on that.
No,
stuff,
I know,
man.
I know.
That's,
you got to be real. Those barbiturates are because holy balls. Because I took like maybe an eighth of Xan, which is obviously not that much, but I was not taking it on a regular basis, and I got about 5 hours of sleep. I felt like I slept eight because you're out.
There's no brain activity yet.
Well, there is, but you're not in the light sleep where you're waking up and you're like, what was that? You're out cold. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up really refreshed with less sleep. I'm like, that's got to be like a biohack or something like that. If you can take something that gets you into that deep sleep quicker and stay there longer, then you can really condense the amount of actual sleep, right?
Sure.
I mean, you're a sleep expert, so am I.
Yeah.
I watched a TED Talk or two.
Yeah. You know, I took it was kind of the opposite. I had to do a Sunday shift, and it was, you know, midday, 11 to 1, and for radio, and I drink on Saturday nights. I don't drink during the week. I might have a beer, you know, during the week, but I'm really good with,
staying on track.
Booze, anyways. I was going to say my diet.
You're pretty good.
I'm pretty good during the week.
Meal plan action?
Yeah, weekend. And I'm still doing NTT Fitness and stuff, so they've been great. So during the week, I'm pretty good. I do go out to lunch like twice a week, and I tend not to get the best things. But, you know, I'm running and doing other stuff. But no booze during the week. So, you know, Saturday night is my day, you know, to cut loose, be an full-blown alcoholic, which I tend to take advantage of. But the problem is, you know, I have to do 2 hours of programming. And I'm a little nervous about my situation. I'm a little worried about the morning.
Is this every week?
No, it was just 1 week. I was filling in for Johnny. Johnny was busy doing something, and Johnny's been taking that shift. That's pretty much his spot.
Are you doing it this Sunday as well?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you can get wild.
But my friend was like, I don't know if I should even say this, but allegedly, he said, well, I have an Adderall if you want it. You know, I have a prescription. And they said, I guess just in case.
You mean to take the following day?
To take in the morning to get yourself. It's meth. It's methamphetamine. Yeah. It's
and
amphetamine.
And sometimes it'll make you S yourself, so just watch out.
Yeah, so I ended up taking it in the morning. I really wasn't hungover, but I just felt like I needed a boost, especially being in the day shift and, you know, being essentially alone. There was at least a phone screener in the room, but you know.
Yeah.
Basically alone.
You're alone.
Yeah. So I did that and I was like, whoa, I don't know. I was zooted up. Like, people take this every day.
Well, they're probably, I mean, do you know how much you took milligram wise?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, that's a problem. Because obviously you're going to start slow and then you build your way up. So when people take like a whole thing, they've probably been taking Adderall their whole life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the last time I took one was at a wedding. My ex-girlfriend gave me one and she takes it every day. And I was like grinding my teeth.
Well, again, you're probably taking what she takes and she's been taking it for years.
She's been taking it a lot.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, this is...
That's happened to me too. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was zooted up. I mean, this is methamphetamine.
Yeah.
So it's not something I'd want to be taking all the time, for sure.
Is there a but?
Is there a but to that story?
Yeah, I thought you were like, I don't want to take it all the time. But.
Well, it definitely helped me out that day. Okay. I feel like it definitely made you, it's like you and you sauce. You know, you're able to pep it up a little bit. You're quicker on your feet. I was able to, you know, register, I think, faster.
But sometimes, I mean, I've taken too much Adderall before, and it you can go overboard, and you're just you start stuttering. You just feel like you're tweaking out. You can't even focus because your heart is like you're focusing on. You're like, am I going to go into cardiac arrest right now?
Yeah, definitely elevated heart rate, more fidgety than usual, but
you felt focused and.
I felt focused. I felt good. You know, the show went good, I think.
Okay.
You know, I didn't go back and listen to it, but I think it went okay. And
it felt good.
I wish I had an emergency supply. Let's just put it that way. When I need it or where it would help be more beneficial.
Yeah.
On like a,
you realize it starts benefiting you in every aspect.
Every day. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It is. I would know that and just be cognizant of that, I think. I think. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you would be cognizant of it, but you would start justifying why you should. Well, I had a really good show. I should probably take it again.
I don't think I would. I don't really have that addictive personality.
It's not even like that you feel addicted physiologically. It's that, you know, you've set a new standard for yourself. So maybe you feel like you had a better show and you're like, listen, I'm a radio personality. I need to make sure that I'm giving the best show to these people at any given day, and I need to make sure I'm on my toes at any given time. And if I'm on Adderall and then I do a show without Adderall, they're going to notice the difference. They're going to be like, why isn't Will on his toes? And then it becomes, you know, a cycle.
Oh, well, if that was the case, you know, I'm at my best 4.5, 5 beers in, and I would just drink every night. But okay. I know I can't do that, you know, so... But no, I don't. It would be nice just sometimes, some days you don't feel like it. And yeah, perhaps it could go down that rabbit hole. I don't think I would, but yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know who needed some damn Adderall this week? Freaking Simone Biles, man. Simone Biles, Olympian, the best gymnast ever, so I hear. Yes. I don't really keep up so much with gymnastics. She's the face of American sports, really, right now, at least the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say American sports, but Olympics.
So she had an incident this week, and people feel very strongly about this episode, which I thought was strange. And it was political, just like anything else. It was, I could tell how you probably voted based on how you felt about Simone Biles.
Yes and no. And I'm only saying that because I listened to Orlando and the Freak Show this morning and they were talking about it. I'm pretty sure they all hang one way and there were some differing opinions.
Okay. So
I think it's more of a generational thing. Like, for those that don't know, Simone Biles pulled herself out of the entire Olympics, right? She was doing the team, right? And then she pulled herself out of the individual.
I don't know if she pulled herself out of the individual. I thought I read that.
Pulled out of everything.
Okay, you know, well, okay, and then you go fair enough and whatever. But yeah, so she pulled herself out of the games. Now, and yeah, maybe I'm wrong because in just my sample size of my Facebook friends list, which is a few hundred people, it was just the repeat offenders of having something to say about everything. We're chiming in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of comedians, local comedians, I know. Not big ones.
Gross.
And, you know, it bugs me, not that comedians are commenting on it, but it's not witty
or
shows any sort of hypocrisy. It's just vitriol towards the people who are being critical of her. I mean, like, well, these fat asses are being critical of Simone Biles, they've never won a medal. Well, that's not what anybody was saying. One of them said something like, wow, I should be surprised by the comments, but I'm not. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that annoyed me. And it really wasn't about also the people who were being critical of... I saw people posting memes, you know, of a guy laying in a pile of his own filth and commenting Simone Biles is a failure or whatever.
I saw that as
Those people, though, that were posting that meme, failures. Utter failures as well. They're all failures. So it's not just one side.
It's weird. So I think people are, you know, interested in it. But my thing is, like, this bitch has been in the Olympics, what, 3 times? She's been in national championships her whole life. She's used to pressure. So if she feels the need to take herself out, I'm feeling something's really not right with her. I have to just trust whatever she's going through and say, listen, if you don't want to compete, don't compete. Obviously, I would think that she would want to. I don't know if you heard this or why you made the connection between Adderall and Simone Biles, but apparently she was taking Ritalin like her whole life. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Oh. That's a good segue.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well done.
Yeah, great job, Will. You didn't even know. But she, and you didn't hear anything. You didn't hear this, but again, I saw it. I was listening to Rogan. He was talking about it, and Jamie was pulling it up. And he said that Simone Biles had been taking Ritalin. She has a Ritalin prescription she takes. And in Japan, I think it's banned or it's hard to get or something like that where she couldn't have it, whatever. So imagine you're taking this for your anxiety or ADHD. I think she had ADHD. And then all of a sudden you don't have it and you have the pressure of the Olympics and you're doing stuff that's not safe if you don't have confidence. You know, doing flips in the air and stuff. And she was just like, I got to pull myself out. So once I knew that she was on Ritalin for her ADHD that she'd been diagnosed with, like, I guess since she was an adolescent, and she's 24 now, so she's been taking it for a minute, and then all of a sudden you don't have that drug, you're probably, and it's a psychological drug, you're probably going to start freaking out. So when I heard that, I go, okay, well, it makes sense that she's probably feeling a little uneasy. Like,
So that's information that I didn't know. I'd also heard, and I'm not positive if it's true or not, but I did hear that she is so good, apparently, that the Olympics will dock her points because she does things that would be really hard for somebody else, but it's very routine for her. Which, if that's the case, that's insane. I mean, that's stupid. What's the point? She's mm-hmm. the best. She should win, period. If she can do stuff that other people can't do, then that just means she's better.
Or is it that she takes the chance to do something hard, and if she doesn't stick it, they dock her points, whereas other people don't do things that are as risky?
I don't know.
And they do them better. You know what I mean? Is it kind of like you take the risk to do something harder, and if you fail, you get docked some points? Like,
well, that everybody happens with that. Then.
But here's the thing. If other girls are doing things that aren't as hard and they stick it, mm-hmm. and they get like whatever, it's like, okay, you got a 9 or something, but Simone tries something harder and it doesn't stick it, she gets docked. She only gets a 7. Mm. Is it like that?
I don't know. That's a fair question. So, I don't know. I didn't see. I looked it up, but I couldn't find anything on it quickly enough to talk about it when I was sent this information or told this information. Now, the thing that, first of all, it annoyed me that she seemed to be getting celebrated for failure, for her,
Quitting. I would say. I don't even want to call it failure because
she didn't fail. If she failed, I would be like, okay, well, she tried and she failed. Uh-huh. You know, that's just the break.
Yeah, but she tried.
Like, she tried.
Right. The effort is what we appreciate.
And there's always stuff like I'm learning new things every day about this. You just told me that. I learned about the docking of the points. So maybe those had some things to do with it. I also heard that she said, well, I'm going to get docked points, so I'm going to be a liability to my team. That just doesn't seem right to me, but I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. So they had a better chance to meddle with her not being in. So I don't know, all those things, it was shocking. And yes, I'm not an athlete, and I still have an opinion on this, shockingly. I know that's a hard thing to register for some people, but this, I hate to overuse the word, and I hate the phrase, because it's our dads that say it, but pussification of America.
Yeah.
It annoys me saying it out loud, but I feel like it's apt here because there was a time when, I mean, it's not only physical sports, there is a mental aspect.
I'd say it's about 50-50.
Right. And it's overcoming. You look at any, you know, high school JV football team, it has some sort of physical and mental toughness arrangement in there. It's worded a little differently each time, but it's about, you know, self-discipline and performance, and self-disciplining yourself
under pressure.
Exactly. So that's what the sports are. That's mm-hmm. what being an athlete is about. Mm-hmm. Yes. I played JV football for 2 weeks. But I didn't even get my mental and physical toughness shirt because I wasn't there long enough.
You don't have to be an athlete to comment on something like this. Just because you haven't been through it doesn't mean you don't understand the concepts involved.
Well,
like, you've had to do things. You've done radio under pressure. You could have quit, but you didn't. That's a similar thing. Just because you're not an athlete doesn't mean you've never experienced pressure in your life or the pressure to perform in your life. Like,
it's a common trope, though, that you have to be something in order to comment on it now.
Yeah, it's like...
Which is insane.
Yeah, you could be like, well, heroin is bad. It's like, well, have you ever done it?
Yeah, you don't know.
Well, no, but...
I have a good idea.
I think it's not good for you, though. Mm-hmm. Just like, get out of here, Scram.
So, I don't know. She was... I'm not going to say she's a like a lot of people just went way off the deep end with this, that she's a disgrace and an embarrassment. And I didn't, you know, she needs to do what's good for her. I totally get that. But I just kept thinking about, first of all, is would a man be able to get away with doing something like this?
Probably less so.
Less so.
Less so, for sure. I mean, I was listening to Orlando in the Freak Show this morning, and it seemed like the older members of the show were like, man, what happened with, like, you think you look at Tiger, you look at Jordan, you look at, the, like, the goats of their sport, Wayne Gretzky.
Kerry Strug was one name who got brought up, too, in 96 in Orlando.
Did they say, you know, I'm feeling a little pressure, I gotta quit? No, but are we kind of encouraging people to be soft? But then it's like, you look at Simone Biles, she's been to the Olympics before, so you'd think the more times you go, the more comfortable you get. She's been to countless competitions, she trains her ass off. She says, I was watching this thing today, she trains between like 32 and 34 hours a week. So you think she doesn't want to all that hard work to pay off? Of course she does. But much like you said about politicians, when, you know, we talk about politics, you can't assume what's in people's minds and hearts. I don't know what she's going through. She probably has dealt with pressure before. That's how I'm gauging it. I'm like, okay, the bitch knows, like, she can perform under pressure. She's an Olympian. She's won countless gold medals. She knows what to do. Something must be really wrong. So I'm kind of like, well, maybe there is a situation. Maybe she doesn't want to hurt herself or let down her team, or she's, you know, I don't want to push her. It's like she has to perform and then she fails and then she kills herself the next day. Like, we don't know, you know? Yeah. So.
Right. It just feels like now it's one of these things that people can use an excuse and you can't really question it. You're not allowed to question that if they're really going through something. Now, she did go through trauma. She was on the team when Larry Nassar was at Michigan State, and they were, I don't know if she got, you know, molested by him personally, but...
She did. I don't know if it was then, I think it was even like the last Olympics or something. Maybe not, because she was a little bit older. She was like 20. But she definitely was one of the girls that was abused.
So, obviously that's going to create some sort of problem mentally with you if you have to experience that and go through that. But what... I don't know.
Who hasn't been molested in gymnastics?
I mean, kind of. I didn't want to say it, but kind of.
I can see it on your face.
You know, but there's other girls, they're more mentally tough, I guess, and able to handle it.
But
and
also, she has way more eyes on her, too.
That's true. No doubt. That's a fact. And, you know, maybe it's unfair that that's the case, but she's the face. Yeah. She just is. Like, I can't imagine Tom Brady going, guys, I just can't do it. We're down by three, and I can't do it. I'm sit out. I can't imagine LeBron or anybody doing that. Somebody brought up, well, Michael Jordan, you know, took some time off from basketball when he was in his prime to play baseball, but he didn't do it in the middle of a game. You know, he completed the game, and then the season was over, and he said, I'm going to retire now. I'm going to retire, and then he ended up coming back a few years later.
To play more basketball.
To play basketball again. But it was, you know, he still got the job done. I think he lost the game, but he played.
Okay, he completed what he was set to complete, and then he did another sport. So
right,
Again, I don't know what she's going through. I definitely think that, you know, she's able to kind of kind of given more of a break because she's a woman. Certainly.
Certainly, no doubt.
Certainly. Yep. It's not a great look, but again, I don't know what she's going through. And when I found out today that her medical records got leaked, and she was on Ritalin, and it's banned in Japan,
That probably had something to do with it.
So I mean, then you go, I don't know what she's going through. She has her medication that she was allowed. Like, I think the Olympics allows it, but Japan doesn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if she's used to doing something every day for however many years, and then she doesn't have her juice, and she's expected to perform, you know, with high pressure, with the best athletes in the world in her sport, and then she started to lose her confidence because I think she did, like, a like a tumble or a vault or something, and she was way off. She got lost in the air, whatever that means. When you're flipping around, she didn't know where she was going. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a couple bad tumbles, and she kind of lost her confidence, and that matters a lot in any sport, but especially in gymnastics when you're tumbling around doing crazy stuff.
Well, if she needed that to concentrate and focus, then maybe she need. Whatever. I don't really care. But I'm more mad at the people who have such strong opinions.
Either way.
About it. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's fair to call her a national disgrace. And, you know, a lot of these people had to apologize for that. But also, the people just celebrating her for giving up on her, on, you know, not only herself, but her team. And, you know, I'm sorry. And I know nationalism is a bad word now, but she's representing the country. Mm-hmm. And gymnastics is one of the ones that is very competitive, always between Russia and China and the United States.
One of the most watched sports, certainly.
And you could, I mean, there's been historic moments. Jesse Owens, you know, in Germany, you know, giving the fist in the air to Hitler.
Oh.
You know, stuff like that. There was.
Are you a gymnast?
No, the track person.
Oh.
Yeah. It was
Jimmy. I thought you were talking about gymnastics. I was like,
No. What's his name? Owens? Jesse Owens, yeah.
Are you talking about Black Power?
He just had his fist up in the air. I don't know. Might have been prior to that whole Black Power movement and stuff. But it was just a fist in the air and in front of Hitler, who didn't want him to compete in the games. Okay. And he won the gold. There's just been a lot of historic moments that have come from the Olympics. And it is sort of this proxy war almost between these nations, you know, to show their strength and their athleticism, and everybody wants to do well in them. And look, you know, like, I don't care what she did, but it shouldn't be celebrated either, what she did. And there's this push to normalize weakness. Weakness is strength now, and celebrating it is just like, can we just take a step back and say, I feel bad for her that she needed a rest.
Here's the thing, like, yes and no to that. I agree with you. I don't think it should be celebrated. I think it should just be like, okay, you do it. You gotta make, you know, autonomy. You do your own thing. You don't think you're ready, or you think that they're going to be better without you and you want to sacrifice yourself so the team will do better. Okay, that's your call. I don't know. But I also think that, like, toughness is good. Discipline is good. And you're talking to someone who is pretty mentally calloused, I think, especially when it comes to like physical exercise. I love finding new ways to torture myself and abuse myself. I work out frequently, even when I don't want to. I push through hard stuff, you know, whatever. But I also feel like there's a point where it's dumb, you know. Like, I look at someone like David Goggins, right? And we're like, wow, amazing, like, how incredible. Yeah, but at the end of the 100, like, he ran, I think, 100 miles on a track in like tube socks without training. And I mean, he had, obviously, his foot was covered in blisters. He had shin splints, so he literally broke bones. And people are applauding that. And to me, I go, what are we accomplishing here? You're destroying your body.
Yeah, but it's accomplishing a feat in spite of your body breaking down. That's mental toughness.
Sure, being absolutely. Able, like,
having the ability, that celebrates the human ability to
persevere,
outdo their limitations.
What you think you could do.
And that's why it's celebrated.
I understand that, but also it's like, you also got to know your limits, I think. I don't think you're really accomplishing anything when you're destroying your body and putting yourself in real danger. I think it's also a good idea, especially you look at like these UFC fighters or whatever, no one to tap out, no one to quit when, you know, it could be life-threatening potentially. I mean, gymnastics, people have broken their necks before. So you got to kind of go, listen, yeah, maybe I should persevere, but if I'm not ready, I could be paralyzed for the rest of my life. And am I going to be applauded for, do I really care if anybody applauded me for being mentally tough if I broke my back? Like, I also think when we're talking about extremes, especially, you know, people who are at the top of their game in whatever sport, you really have to take into consideration, like, maybe I shouldn't do that fight. Maybe I'm not ready because, yeah, people are going to think I'm a pussy if I pull out, or I could die. I could die if I get into the cage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So yeah, I do know. There was even a tennis player now. This is just, it seems like it started this steamrolling now where, look, I don't know what was going on, but in this occasion, I'll just tell you what happened. There was two guys playing tennis in the Olympics. It was hot and it was muggy. And one
this
guy.
Olympics?
Yeah. A few days after Simone Biles. and he got overheated and he took a break. And then he started telling the judge, like, are you going to take responsibility if I die? This weather's too hot. It's like, okay, but he's playing under the same this is just weather condition. It's part of the game. You know, yeah. You have to not only, you have to be mentally tough to deal with the condition. Stay hydrated, obviously. Yeah. You know, do what you need to do or quit. Be like, I can't do it. But the fact of the matter is it is an even playing field because the other guy, sure, or person is dealing with the same conditions. You know, in a football game, they always mention what the weather is. You know, because it's part of the game. It makes it a lot. You got to change your strategy. If it's raining, you can't be passing the ball all over the place. Ball's slippery. You got to get your run game going. You know, there's just strategies that you need to do. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same in tennis. But it just feels like this being weak is like celebrated.
Now, like, indoors?
Oh, he's well, I guess you can.
I'm like, why? Yeah, how is that can. That hard? But whatever, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, complaining is the way to go now. And these are people who are probably in their 20s and grew up in this culture, the pussification of the world I guess.
But also no, because we're not talking about people, like average people. We're talking about Olympians. So you'd think that, you know, they had to persevere no matter what to get to that level. So that's kind of odd that...
Are we going to just stop, you know, like, oh, it's too hot today?
But again, like, it's raining outside your whole life.
Yeah, it's part of the deal. It's just...
But you've obviously endured hard times. Every day, training every day isn't always going to be your best day or going to be fun. You're going to play poorly sometimes. You're going to be feeling under the weather, whatever the situation may be. But in order, you have to endure that, all that stuff to become an Olympian.
Yeah.
So once you're at the Olympics, it seems odd that you would suddenly just like pull out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And I think it has to do with the fact that Simone Biles was celebrated for quitting. And it almost becomes a virtue to, I'm not doing it today. I quit. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. And it's like, well, nobody's telling her to do it. You're here under your own accord because you're the best in the world and you want to prove it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, I don't have really strong opinion about Simone. I do have a strong opinion about the people who have a strong opinion. Either way, the tennis player... I don't know. I think he finished the game. He maybe just having a mood swing or something, but it just seemed like this is going to become a thing in the future of sports. But if anybody has an opinion about this, 813-693-2124, if you want to know what Anna's theme music is. I told you I got that last week and answered her for you. And Twitter.
Yes.
@home_made_man.
Anna Hummel Radio.
Yep. Same with Instagram for
me. Feel free to DM me so I can ignore you.
Yeah. Follow those accounts. Follow HMB Radio on Facebook and the Johnny B Show and Radio St. Pete and all those fun places. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit if you're listening on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on podcasts, awesome. Tell a friend about it, would you? It really helps out. And word of mouth is the best form of advertising. My name is Will Coons. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete and HMBRadio.com. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.